You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
I like to ask questions. I like to find out what you think when we speak. Name me some things you couldn't live without. Oh, go on, who's going to be brave? Something you cannot live without. Food or water. Oxygen, I'll give you that one. Okay. What else couldn't you live without? Is there any material things you go, oh, I couldn't live without that? Your mobile phone. Without your beds? With what? Without fabric softener. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. This is what it's all about. Anything else? Anybody else want to volunteer something that they couldn't live without? Without chocolates. Oh, did you get a chocolate? I hope they were offered round this morning. It's interesting, actually. You've mentioned a mobile phone. Anything annoying about mobile phones? Okay, Facebook, things that are on the mobile phone. Anything else annoying about phones? People that use them. Okay. I could ask you to expand on that a little bit more. We'll leave that one there. Anybody find their mobile phones always running out of charge? Just at the wrong time. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Do you end up, though, in a routine? You see, I've managed to get myself into a routine with my mobile phone. I know that if I charge it overnight, for my average amount of use, it will just about get me through the day. Yeah? Now, I've got a good routine with that. I guarantee if I forget to put it on charge, and then I try and do it for the 10 minutes before I leave the house, so there's not quite enough time, and suddenly I'm trying to find somewhere to charge it, and I then only get 5 minutes here, and it doesn't really work for me for the day. As I was preparing for this, I was trying to think of an analogy for prayer. And we've already been and had a prayer meeting out the back this morning. But if you're busy all day on your phone or your phone's got extra usage, it needs extra charge, doesn't it? If your life is busy, a little bit busier all day, and you aren't charged up because you haven't met with the Father, you haven't prayed, and maybe those circumstances that come along throughout the day, more pressure, more prayer, is that your experience? I wonder. And it's been a challenge because we all hear about prayer. How important is prayer? Unexpected situations? More prayer required? Is that your natural heartbeat? I've got some silly quotes up on the screen. You probably know these ones. You'll know the first one anyway. 7 days without prayer, what? Makes 1 week. Have you got it there, Morris? Makes 1 week. Yeah, not W-E-E-K, an E-A-K. Makes you weak. But I liked this one. I hadn't heard this one before. God answers all. Email. Oh, they got a lot worse, but I had to stop myself at two. But that made me laugh. God answers all email. Does he? In our passage this morning, we're looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Thank you, Graham, for reading that. And we saw last time at the beginning of Ephesians, Paul was reminding us how richly blessed we are in Christ. And I don't know if you can remember back, because it was a few weeks ago, but we were saying we were richly blessed in Christ, and it wasn't a little sprinkling. If you want to go back in your Bibles, up a few verses, it says, coming in at verse 8, in him we have redemption through his blood. This really excites me when I read this again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that what he lavished on us, not a mere sprinkling, he lavished this on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And I don't know if you can remember back, but what we were saying was that we are all heirs, co-heirs with Christ's princes and princesses. And we said in that message last time, that God knows what he's getting with us. He knew us before the beginning of time, before it began. God knows what the finished product is. Before creation, he knows what he's going to get and what's going to happen. And remember I said about the raw materials, if you looked at the thing that you might covet the most, the thing you want the most, maybe even a mobile phone, and you looked at it in its raw material state, you wouldn't be very impressed. But when it's finished at the end and at just the right time, when it's delivered, as long as you're in, you've got the finished product. And that's what you're after. And God sees that in you and I. And we said he put a deposit down on us. He invested in us for the praise of his glory. And that enthusiasm that I think Paul has at that beginning of the letter continues here as he starts to pick up this prayer in verses 15 to 16. He says this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all people," in verse 15, carrying on to 16, it says, "I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And Paul opens up other letters in a similar way. I started looking at how he opened up his other letters. And if you want to have a look at these, you can bookmark these for later if you want to read them. But Philippians 1, coming in at verse 9, it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." And again, if you're excited by that, you can go into Colossians and it says a similar thing, again, starting in verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." He's praying again. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Are you listening to that one, Dave? You're doing patience next time. "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." You know, we've got some excitement that's going on. We've got an inheritance. These are exciting times. And what I find fascinating is that these prayers don't just express God's desire for his people at that time. That's God's desire for us here and now. They are completely relevant to us today. So let's go back into Ephesians, because you've heard what he said to the Philippians and the Colossians. In Ephesians, picking it up in verse 17, it's got this same thread, this passion that Paul has. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." Here it comes again, "to the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Now, as I was doing a bit of research on this, I had a number of questions that I was kind of asking, saying, well, what's this prayer about? Why was Paul praying this particular prayer? And interestingly, on Facebook, there is a group that somebody signed me up to. It's a closed group called Baptist Small Church Network. And on there, all these ministers ask each other questions behind closed doors so no one can see what they're thinking. So I thought, I'll give it a go and see what they think. I don't know if you can see all the questions that I put up there, but these are what the questions that somebody else asked, and I thought, oh, I wonder what these ministers think. What do you learn from Paul's manner of prayer to the Ephesian believers? Because if Christians stop praying for people to receive a revelation of God, would people still come to know God on their own? It's an interesting question. Would God work in them at all? So how important is this kind of prayer? And these are some of the answers I got. "It's one aspect of the age-old question," somebody said. "Does prayer change things, given God's perfect wisdom and goodness?" And then they went on to open that up a little bit more. Somebody else said, "There is something about prayer and making requests to God
and putting it out there, so to speak, that for me crosses space and time. Psalm 22 is a cry from the heart of David to God, who feels that God has deserted him and is not hearing him. How many times have any of us felt like that? And there are a number of other replies that I got in. So whether that's a typical minister or pastor's answer, I'm not quite sure it answered the question, but there were some interesting bits in there. But what is key in our passage this morning is that the group Paul is actually writing to knows God. They know God, and Paul's excited about that, but he prays that they would get to know him better. They know of the riches that lead to salvation, that spiritual heart change that only comes by that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what is this spirit that's being spoken about? I'm going to give a quick plug for our Wednesday evening, because if you don't know what's going on Wednesday evenings, just to make sure it's in your diary so you're not confused, every Wednesday is Bible study. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. It starts at 7:30 till about 9. And we're doing Fruits of the Spirit at the moment. And as you've heard already, Dave is picking this up on patience. But what are the fruits of the Spirit? What are the gifts of the Spirit? What is Paul talking about here? Is he talking about a spiritual gift or something the Holy Spirit simply speaks of himself back in verse 17? We, of course, today have the complete, full and revelation of God's word, don't we? But these first century Christians at that time, they were living in and during that time of revelation. How exciting it would have been to have received that letter. And we're reading now, we've got the full scripture, haven't we? But living in those times. Jesus said in John 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he'll only speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Okay, Darren, that all sounds very interesting, maybe a bit complicated. You lost me on some of it. So let's ponder a question. Do you know God? Because Paul is writing to a group of people here, isn't he, that know God, and he's celebrating that, and he wants them to know God better. Do you know God? Very direct question. You may know about God. Some of us know about God. You might even like the idea of God. I would go so far as to say you could have a degree and a PhD with something to do about godly things. But unless you allow that spirit of wisdom and revelation to complete that finished and eternal saving work in your life, I think for a lot of people, that question, do you know God, it can become a real burden. We start wrestling with answers. We get into some deep theology. We go into lots of different courses, and it starts to become very, very complicated in our minds. And rather than building our lives with this truth and saying, this is exciting, I can put that foundation down, I understand what that means, and I understand what that means, we start carrying these things around and going, oh, this is too heavy. It's a bit complicated. God never wanted us to pick up burdens. He wanted us to build our lives with his truth. Paul says in verse 18, if you continue, it says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I suppose I'm asking you, can you see what God has got for you? And it's different for each and everyone. As this morning, have you claimed those glorious riches? Do you know his incomparably great power for us who believe? Because if you look into verse 19, it's very exciting. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. What was really lovely last week at the all-age service, Simon came and spoke. He only spoke briefly to us, but he spoke about us being in that spiritual battle, and we'll get into that in Ephesians 6 soon enough. But he said to us, Ephesians 6 at verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the dark against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The promise is that same power is at work in us. We were once dead to Christ. Some of us might have been brought up in Christian homes and go, I don't know that. Some of us knew what it meant to be dead to Christ. But for those who believe, and we'll pick this up in Ephesians 2 next time, we have been made alive. Raised up are the words that are used. Just as we were renewed by the Spirit when we were baptized. And I'm not going to pick on anybody this morning, but this is why I believe baptism is so important. This is why when I speak to a lot of people now, have you been baptized? It's a question. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I've got to plead with everybody here this morning, if you've not been baptized as a believer yet, could I be so bold as to say you're a partial observer, essentially looking in from the outside? The Great Commission says, doesn't it? Matthew 28, you can look at it, it's in your Bibles, 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And is that all it says? It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, key word there, everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a promise. What a commission. So I have to ask some again this morning, are you in obedience to God on this? Or is the Great Commission a lifestyle choice? You can cherry pick the bits you want out of that. I like that bit, but I'm not having that bit, and I'll have that bit. That'll do. A bit like a Subway. If you're still looking in from the outside in this life, it would be a dreadful thing to be looking in from the outside when Christ comes again. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. It's come to set us free. It is good news. Maybe for some, and we've said this morning already, you probably came in feeling empty. If not, you probably had a moment this week where you went, I feel empty. I'm not sure what it's all about. Maybe as I asked that, do you know God question, you kind of went, well, I'm not sure. And now you're looking around at church as it's starting to grow and there's various people stepping into different roles and you're thinking, oh, I'd love to have done that. When Simon spoke last week, he spoke a word over the church. I went back and I actually listened to it on the tape to get the right words. And he said this, that the things we're reading in Scripture are not for far off lands, okay? The things we're reading in Scripture are not for far off lands. God has a plan to see his will worked out here in Tile Hill through you. And I think he was really passionate when he said that. If you missed it, God has a plan to see his will worked out here in Tile Hill through you and me. How do we know that? Look at verse 22. It says, and God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are God's body here in Tile Hill, and we don't want to be a dismembered body, do we? It doesn't operate very well. We want to be one that knows God's will and purpose. I spoke about the mobile phone at the beginning. Just imagine having a mobile phone, and you've actually got into the routine of charging it, but like some people, you just never turn it on. What would be the point? Does anybody know anybody like that? So frustrating. Yeah. Why have you got the phone? Why have you got the phone? It's almost ridiculous, isn't it? If you don't know God or feel he's distant, I believe God exists. I believe there is more than enough evidence. Do you ever talk to him? How often do you read his word? It's a bit like having a mobile phone fully charged and not turning it on. You've got God's word, but oh yeah, no, it's amazing. Never read it. Absolutely never read it. But it's amazing the things it can do. Don't have to download any apps for it. It's all in there. It's fully complete. Never use it, but it's amazing. That'd be really weird, wouldn't it? What a crazy thing to do. And someone's even challenged me this week about discipling. Who's discipling you? Who's helping you? Who's walking with you, encouraging you, and spurring you on? Discipleship is really important, and it comes down to relationship, a relationship with God, a relationship with each other. And as Paul's been praying, we've been looking at his prayer this morning, Jesus reminds us how important it was to pray. Unless you are spending time in prayer and God's word, you will be like that person that looks at their phone, chucks it fully charged, all up to date, latest firmware, software, you name it, and goes, nobody calls. I've never turned it on, but nobody calls. Because I wanted to come back to prayer and I want us to be a church that gets excited about prayer, I'll read to you something, a quote back from the Metropolitan Tabernacle. It says this, I think I put it on Facebook when I advertised the service this morning. It said, when people walked through the Metropolitan Tabernacle, as New Park Street became known, Spurgeon, who was a great preacher, would take them into the basement prayer room where people were always on their knees interceding for the church. They were praying, and then the pastor would declare, here is the powerhouse of this church. And I've heard many people say that to me over the years, and I think, yeah, it's just a line to get me to come along to another boring prayer meeting. You know, this morning we invited regular attenders and members. You should have got a hand-delivered, thank you, Debbie, invite to come and pray at church this morning. I know not everybody could make it. Maybe it was short notice. But there was 10, 12? I didn't count. I had my eyes closed. But there was about 10 or 12 of us that met out the back this morning at 9:30 because we wanted to pray that God would come this morning, that God would be the one that we'd have our eyes fixed upon, that he might lead us through. And we're going to do that every Sunday. Now, who was it that came? Patrick Ingle. And he set up a prayer meeting for his church, and he said, and there's two people that regularly attend that and have done for years, and that's him and his wife. And if I don't remember what he said, and I thought I'm going to claim that one, he said, so if the message is rubbish this morning, it's because you weren't out the back praying hard enough beforehand. I don't know if I can claim that this morning or not, but hey, are we really wanting to see God come? Are we wanting to see his will be done in this place? Jesus gave over 40 teachings on prayer throughout the New Testament. He taught his disciples how to pray. If it was important to Jesus, it must be important to us. I've got another quote for you. It says, one major reason many of us do not receive the power and blessing of prayer is because we don't take it serious enough. If we don't take it serious enough, we won't put much effort into it and we won't get any blessings from it. So as I said at the beginning, if we are church, the people here, a connected body, I do want to introduce a number of ways that we can be doing that over these coming weeks and months. I'd love to see us having daily prayer requests at the church. It's something I had at the last church, and an email would arrive in my inbox every day about 4 o'clock, and it would update me on all of the things that I should be praying for. Other people keep prayer books. One of my children has got a prayer book, and it's absolutely fantastic. You all feature in it. She remembers everything that's going on in it, and she's continually praying for it. And we know that she will sit down and pray for every single person and all the other bits that come in. And if she didn't have a book, she would feel she couldn't do it. So she writes it all down. Have you got a prayer book? Have you got something that takes you 10, 15 minutes to go through every day to pray for people? There's many other ways that we can do it, but getting together as God's body at 9:30 before the service, if you want to come and do that, I would encourage you to do that. Debbie has very kindly said she wants to step up and take that on. So go and speak to Debbie if you've got any ideas for prayer. Should we be praying one another after the service? You know, sometimes we say, come pray, I'd love to pray with you. But should we be doing that regularly? How can we pray for one another? Let's tell each other. It's not necessarily about us leading you. You come and tell us how we can pray. I'm going to close with this. It's just another couple of passages because I want you to get excited about prayer, because otherwise you're going to look at the prayer meeting and go, well, I could probably find one thing to pray for, but if it's 45 minutes, I'm going to be sat there, bored out of my skull for the rest of it. Prayer meetings. Hang on a minute. I want you to get excited about meeting with God. In Exodus 33, you can write these down and go back and have a look later if you want. In Exodus 33, starting in verse 7, there's something called the tent of meeting. And it says this, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away and called it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Now, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped at the entrance to their tents. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp," and it continues on. If you want to flick a page, probably into Exodus 34, this is the result of Moses spending time with God. So he's been up on Mount Sinai, he's got the Ten Commandments, and it says in from verse 29, Exodus 34, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he'd spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid of to come near him. But Moses called them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. And when he spoke to them afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands of the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And then in verse 33, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he'd been commanded, they saw his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord." When Moses met with God, his face would shine. Now, I don't know about you, when I was reading through that thinking, you know what, I've got 45 minutes out of my day where I can come to church where it's a little bit quieter. I can spend time with God. I don't even have to have 100 prayers. It's going to take up the 45 minutes. I can sit in God's presence and my face will shine. And I think, actually, you've met those people, haven't you? I certainly know a few people who shared testimony with me. Those people you've met where their face just shone. There was something about them. You weren't quite sure. That was a Christian, that was. He might have even been an angel. There was something about them where their face shines. Spending time with God, just sitting in his presence, we might shine like stars. I find that incredibly, incredibly exciting. So if prayer seems dull to you, go back and have a read of that. Put your name maybe in there instead of Moses' name. Be that person that meets with God and you come out and your face is shining, that we might have that impact on the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that when we bow the knee, when we know you are God, when we accept the truth of who you are, that life-giving, life-changing truth, something happens within us, Lord, and I pray that we make space for that to happen. That we're not just shoppers that come in with shopping lists expecting you just to do any whim that we might say, but Father, as we've done this morning, we've said, come, Father, build your house, lead us on. Be the one that our eyes are fixed upon this morning. And we've got it on the wall above my head. We want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, that's what we want to do. We know there's loads of practical stuff we can do. It's good to feed the hungry. It's good to lift up the downcast. But Father, we really want to follow you. We want to seek out what it is that you've got in that amazing supernatural way for Tile Hill. that lives that are broken can be transformed because you do an amazing work that we didn't even see coming. And you do it in ways, Lord, that aren't our ways. Your ways are higher than our ways, we've said already with the children this morning. Father, come and surprise us today, we pray. That love that transforms lives, that love that comes and brings peace in difficult situations, that love that focuses us upon you and moves us on from our situations is what we want to see working powerfully throughout Tile Hill. So, Father, we thank you for the prayer this morning that encourages us, that spurs us on into those things, that we can look at that rich inheritance that is there for us. Help us to understand what that means if we don't understand that this morning. But for those whose hearts are just bursting now because we're so excited about what it is that you've given us and we know what our final destination is, that we almost in a sense see with your eyes what we're going to be like one day when we shall see your Son. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is coming back. Thank you, Lord, that we've got the communion before us this morning, that, Lord, we do not forget. And although they'll just be elements, they speak powerfully of what your Son has done for us. So, Lord, as we enter into communion now, I would pray that just for each and every one of us here, we would take that moment to examine ourselves, to say, is there anything before us, as Dave prayed out the back this morning, a picture of boulders in the way that's stopping the stream from flowing. Lord, are there things in our lives that are stopping us from having that relationship with you? And if that is a simple case of, well, we haven't bowed the knee yet, we want to do it our way. Lord, with all that love and grace that you have, would you lead us on?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.